Thank you for choosing another presentation from the Southside Seventh-day Adventist Church. We pray that you will be blessed by the following sermon presented by Pastor Kevin Ramey, and that the Holy Spirit will speak to your heart.
There's not enough. Not enough days in the week to get it all done. Not enough money in the bank. Not enough dollars in the budget. Not enough safe places or food depositories in Japan. Just not enough. And it seems that we can get into some sort of a budget mode, that we believe that we need to ration everything. But there's one thing that good stewardship requires you not to ration. There's more than enough love for everyone. And love is the only resource that will dwindle if you try to save it. It was Shakespeare who said, "Let me not to the marriage of true minds introduce impediments." Love is not love which alters when it alteration finds or bends with the remover to remove. No, it's that fixed mark that looks upon the tempest. It's that light to every wandering bark whose worths are known though its height be taken. Love alters not with his brief hours or weeks, but bears it out even to the edge of doom. If this be error and upon me proved, I never writ nor no man ever loved. Understanding what he tried to say, we could turn to Paul. Because Paul seems to separate what we think love is from what love really is. The idea is that there are many things that we could do that would look like love. But when you have love, you do all those things. In other words, you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. In other words, you can listen attentively to someone without loving, but you cannot love without listening attentively to someone. You can help someone in a very tight and difficult situation without loving. But if you love, you cannot but help to help them in a tight and difficult situation. So bringing this back to the very beginning, there are many things that are being budgeted in this world, and there are things that they're not enough of. But there's more than enough.
Let's bow our heads as we pray. Loving Father in heaven, we're thankful for already your presence here, giving us the privilege to honor you and to worship you. And as we open your word, we ask for just an outpouring of your Holy Spirit so that we can discern those things that are spiritual, things, Lord, that will make us more like you. We ask that you would turn our minds to heaven. And we say thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. How's everybody doing? Everyone's doing good? Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. There is a poem that I would like to share with you. It's entitled, "Jesus and You." And would like to put it on the screen at this time and hope that it's something you can be blessed with. Can you see that? Yes, no? Yeah. Who said no? Anybody can't see it? All right, maybe we can... let's just probably just dim the lights a little bit, but a beautiful poem that would lead us into our message for the day. Is that better? All right. Amen. Before you were thought of or time had begun, God even struck you, or stuck you rather, in the name of his Son. And each time you pray, you'll see it's true. You can't spell out Jesus and not include you. You're a pretty big part of his wonderful name. For you, he was born. That's why he came. And his great love for you is the reason he died. It even takes you to spell crucified. Isn't it thrilling and splendidly grand? He rose from the dead with you in his plan. The stones split away, the gold trumpet blew, and this word, resurrection, is spelled with a U. When Jesus left earth at his upward ascension, he felt there was one thing he just had to mention. Go into the world and tell them it's true, that I love them all just like I love you. So many great people are spelled with a U. Don't they have a right to know Jesus too? It all depends now on what you will do. He'd like them to know, but it all starts with you. Amen? Praise the Lord. And for our listening audience, the word you was the letter U. You cannot spell J-E-S-U-S without the letter U. And when God implemented the plan of salvation, he included you. Amen? Praise the Lord. Let's turn in our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Second Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. I want to see if we have any alert adult members today that you don't are not looking out for yourself. What is the cardinal rule here at Southside? No young person is to be without a Bible. And so if you see a young person without a Bible, please give them your Bible and encourage them to bring their Bible next week. But we'd like all youth to participate and to have a Bible. Okay? If you got your Bibles, young people, hold them up. Let me see. Hold them up. You got a Bible? Okay. All right. Hold your Bibles up. If they're not holding the Bible up, could you please give them your Bible, somebody? I want them to get this, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning with verse 17. Amen? It's important that when our young people come to church, that they get something out of church. If we just allow them to come to church and just sit there, we are guilty of them not receiving the message. Amen? If they are lost, their blood will be on our shoulder. How many times have we seen young people come to church, and when they get to that magical age of 16, 17, or 18, they stop? What were they doing when they came to church? Was somebody interested in receiving the message? And most importantly, understanding who Jesus is? Amen? That is the privilege we have, is to mentor, to instruct, and to guide young people to the kingdom of heaven. This passage of scripture is an important one, and one that includes all of us. And I'd like to read it to you from the New Century Version, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Anyone who belongs to Christ is a new person. Do you believe that? The past is forgotten, and everything is new. Verse 18, God has done it all. He sent Christ to make peace between himself and us. And he has given us the work of making peace between himself and others. Did you get that? Let me read it again. In your translation, it says in verse 18, if you have the King James or the New King James, it says, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of what? Reconciliation. Verse 19, it says, what we mean is that God was in Christ offering peace and forgiveness to the people of this world. And he has given us the work of sharing his message about peace. Verse 20, we were sent to speak for Christ, and God is begging you to listen to our message. We speak for Christ and sincerely ask you to make peace with God. Verse 21, Christ never sinned, but God treated him like a sinner so that Christ could make us acceptable to God. Amen? And we want to talk about this morning the ministry of reconciliation. The ministry of reconciliation. God has given us the ministry to reconcile other people to Jesus Christ. What does the word reconciliation mean? It is the act of restoring friendship or harmony. What is it? The act of restoring friendship and harmony. The definition of reconciliation. God reconciled us. He made peace with us to himself through Jesus Christ. And then, according to the text, he has given us that ministry of reconciliation. Amen? And so I want to demonstrate reconciliation this morning. And I'm going to pick on a couple of people. All right. The ones that I actually wanted, they're gone. I'm going to choose my brother over here, Dennis and Tamara. I'd like to pick on you. I need you to assist me in this illustration. Could you come to the front, please? It is very harmless. It is very harmless. Okay. Amen. Don't they look lovely as a couple? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We want to demonstrate and illustrate what it is to be reconciled. Okay? All right. What I'd like to do is turn with your backs towards Jesus, Father, with your arms folded. Folded, as in, okay? And I want you to kind of almost look like you're cross. Just look mean or look upset. Okay? All right? This is an illustration of individuals who are at odds with each other. Amen? When humankind sinned, that's how we were with God. We were at odds with God. As a matter of fact, one translation says that there was hostility between man and God. And so, God sent Jesus to restore that relationship. Amen? And what Jesus did, he took the hand of God and took the hand of man. And he reconciled us to God. Amen? All right. Does it help you understand what reconciliation is all about? Okay, let's do it one more time. Not only was the human race at odds with God, and Christ came to reconcile the human race to God, we who are reconciled to God are now to find people who are not reconciled to God and then to reconcile them to God. Amen? That's what the Bible says when it says that he has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Amen? Does everybody get that? It's very, very important that we understand this is a very important ministry. Without this ministry, many people will be lost. Okay? Let's try it again. We illustrated how the world was at odds with God. Lost. Jesus came and reconciled the world to God. Amen? Individuals responded to that message. How many of you have responded to the message of reconciliation with God through Jesus Christ? Let me see your hands. Meaning that you have been baptized, you've given your life to Jesus Christ, and you are no longer at odds with Jesus, or with God, rather. Amen? Who reconciled you to God? Jesus Christ. But somebody came to be an agent of reconciliation, didn't they? Amen? Wasn't there somebody that helped introduce you to Jesus? Amen? And that is the work that we have, the ministry, or the work of reconciling others to Christ. In the same way that somebody else helped you to turn around from being at odds with God, God now asks you who have been reconciled to God to now find somebody who is not reconciled to God. You take them by the hand, amen, and you lead them to God because you are joined with God, amen. Now they are reconciled to God. And what they do, they go and find somebody else who is not reconciled to God. Let's give them a hand. Thank you so much. It's like the work of mediation. How many of you have ever been in a situation of a mediation where instead of going to court or to trial or something, whether it's a custody battle, whether it's a divorce, an impending divorce, or whether it's where somebody is suing you over something, that oftentimes the court will offer mediation. Isn't that correct? Where the two parties come together before either a retired judge or some sort, and they will try to work things out so that you don't have to go through the great expense of hiring a lawyer and all the time of going to court. That's mediation. Mediation is defined to interpose between parties in order to reconcile them. All right? It's an intervention between two parties so that they can be reconciled. Amen? So oftentimes, we need to do the work of mediation, even before the work of reconciliation. Amen? Because there's a world out there that does not know that they are not reconciled or they are irreconciled with God. There's a world out there who does not know that they are eternally lost. They don't know that. Meaning that they're living their lives, but they don't know about eternal life. Amen? They don't know about eternal damnation. But somehow God is working with those who have been already reconciled to God, asking them to go out and find somebody who is not reconciled to God so they can be reconciled to God. Do you know anybody who's not reconciled to God? Do you? Can you think of anyone in your life, around your life, who is not reconciled to God? Everybody has somebody. Someone that you know that is at odds with God, maybe do not know it. Maybe they do know it, I don't know. But he has called us to do the ministry of reconciliation. Amen? And that ministry of reconciliation, it begins with me. It begins in my home. It is extended to wherever I go. It is very difficult to do the ministry of reconciliation for others to God when I don't practice that message of or ministry of reconciliation in my own life. Amen? How many of us have had at time, or maybe even do have, hostile neighbors, difficult neighbors, neighbors who may act obnoxiously or irrationally and will try to give you a difficult time? What is your response to them? What's your attitude to them? All right? Do you know or go to school with somebody who don't like other folks from certain races? All right? What is your attitude to them when they don't like you because of the color of your skin or because of your culture? Do you exercise that attitude of reconciliation, that spirit of reconciliation? Amen? So before I can exercise the ministry of reconciliation of somebody who does not know Jesus, I need to exercise that ministry of reconciliation in my own life. Amen? Otherwise, it becomes an oxymoron where I'm doing one thing on one side and completely opposite thing on the other side. Amen? It's that ministry of reconciliation. And it goes even deeper. Have you ever been hurt by somebody? What has been the greatest hurt in your life? Think about it. Where have you been hurt? Or how have you been hurt the deepest? Think about it. Who did it? Have you forgiven that person? See, that's part of reconciliation. Amen? And I've said it before in a recent sermon that you can even forgive somebody who does not exist, meaning that they have died. Somebody who has done something very bad to you, but they died before you can actually forgive them. You can still in your heart forgive that person. Amen? And oftentimes I find that one of the things that holds up us doing the ministry of reconciling people introducing people to Jesus Christ is the fact that we are at odds, still at odds, with individuals in our own lives. It could be your parent. It could be your child. It could be your brother or your sister. It could be an aunt or an uncle. It could be a spouse or an ex-spouse. We don't know. It could be a co-worker or an ex-co-worker. No matter what it is, we have got to exercise that attitude and spirit of reconciliation, that spirit of forgiveness, before we can introduce the forgiveness of God to somebody else. I had here in my notes that people will be saying amen, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. But I don't know if you got it. You want me to say it again? Amen? Amen. It's an important ministry. I cannot extend the forgiveness of God without forgiving you or without forgiving somebody. Amen? It's true. When I forgive you, I cannot forgive you like this with my arms crossed and with my lips pushed out. Forgiveness is a divine thing. Divine meaning it comes from God and can only be given by God. It is not natural for humans to forgive. Amen? It's not natural to extend that forgiveness. It has to be prompted by the Holy Spirit. Amen? And my prayer to us today, that as we think about the ministry of reconciliation, the ministry of helping other people who are at odds with God, that if they were to die today, they will be lost. My prayer is that as we engage in that ministry, that we will make sure that we don't have an obstacle within us that's preventing us from truly exercising that spirit and that message of the forgiveness of God when we haven't experienced it in our own selves because of something somebody has done to us. Amen? Maybe we ought to pause even right now and ask God, where we can individually ask God, God, take away that obstacle of unforgiveness that I may have for somebody who has hurt me real bad. Somebody who has done something that has caused some terrible pain within. And every time I think of the word forgiveness, or every time I think about that subject, it brings grief to my heart. Maybe we need to pause right now and where you can ask God to forgive so that you can carry out that message, extending God's forgiveness to other people. Let's bow our heads right now. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for calling us to the message, to the ministry of reconciliation. We thank you, Father, for reconciling us to Jesus Christ, that we are not at odds with God. Thank you. We believe that we are saved. We believe we belong to God, to you. Father, there may be an obstacle that is keeping us from truly extending your forgiveness or your message of forgiveness to a dying world. Maybe we have not forgiven somebody or others. Maybe we find it difficult within our hearts. Maybe we feel that by forgiving them, we are excusing them, and that is not the case. When you forgave us, you did not excuse our sins. And so, Father, I ask in the name of Jesus Christ that right now, you first help me. Look into my life, God, and see if there's any unforgiveness. See if there's any type of experience that I'm still harboring within, regrets that I'm still harboring because of the pain of the past. And give me your divine grace so that I can extend forgiveness to that person or those individuals. I say thank you. And I ask what you have done to me that you would do to others today. Help others to forgive that person who may have wronged them and don't care about it. That we can exercise the forgiveness of God and extend it to that person. Heal that pain. Heal that hurt. I don't know what it is, Lord, but it's deep. And we've been carrying it for a long time. Even teach us to forgive. Teach us to extend that olive branch to that person. Not to say, I excuse what you did, but only to say, I forgive you. I'm not holding it against you anymore because I have the forgiveness of Christ. And I am a representative of Christ extending that message of forgiveness to other people. You are forgiven. You are forgiven because I have the love of God in my heart. You are forgiven. I don't have remorse anymore. I have peace within me right now. I don't know where you are with this, and that peace may not come right now as you pray. You may be even find it very difficult to pray that prayer right now. But I assure you that as you ask God and plead with God to take away that remorse and take away that spirit of unforgiveness, God will do it. And you will find yourself in a place of peace so that you can truly be God's agent to truly extend to others that message of forgiveness, that message of reconciliation, so that others will not be at odds with God. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to another powerful presentation from the Southside Seventh-day Adventist Church. We trust that you have been blessed and pray that you will choose to be used by God. As always, stay blessed by the best.